Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
March 11th, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, an introduction to the Digital Photography Companion. Well, welcome back to another show. I have something that's very near and dear to my heart today to talk about, which is I'm holding in my hands right now, and I know this is an audio podcast, but I can always do the flipping of the pages. We spare no expense for sound effects on this show here, you know, the flipping of the pages sound effect of the Digital Photography Companion. This is one of the first books right off the press. They sent it to me. My publisher, O'Reilly Media, was very kind and sent it to me. And I've had a chance to go through it, and I want to do some author notes on this book right now, because if you turn over the book and go to the back cover, what you will see there is our logo, the Digital Story logo for our Virtual Camera Club, with the URL to take you to the Digital Photography Companion page that we have on the Digital Story. That page has been up for a while now, where we're running the, you know, how I did it tips, and pretty soon we're going to have even more stuff as people have a chance to read the companion and then submit, you know, how they did their own things based on techniques, and even techniques that aren't in this book. So this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a great time. But I want to tell you a little bit about this book, because believe me, after working on it for nearly a year, there are one or two things that I know that other reviewers aren't going to talk about. I'll start with the basics, just, you know, the basic physicalness of this beautiful beast. The trim size is 5.5 inches wide, and it's 8.5 inches tall. So basically, if you're in the U.S. and you take a sheet of letterhead and fold it in half, that is the size of the companion. And I wanted to do that for all sorts of reasons. One of them is that it's a size that fits in things. It'll fit in jacket pockets. It'll fit in my back jeans pocket, although if you have designer jeans or something, believe me, it won't fit in that. It's also very efficient paper-wise. There was, you know, very little waste in making this. Sometimes when you have an odd trim size on a book, there's a lot of paper waste, and paper gets thrown away. It didn't have that. And then I just like the proportions of it. The proportions are very pleasing. They feel like proportions that we work with in photography. So it's a nice, it's about 0.5 inch thick. And it has like about 228 pages, full color, uncoated stock, really well printed. The binding is very nice. It's a good binding so that you can open it all the way up, and no matter where you are in the book, and the binding supports that, and it doesn't break, you know, and it doesn't have that kind of irritating, like you're afraid a signature is going to fall out or pages are going to fall out, something like that. Very well crafted. The cover in particular, I thought turned out well. And actually, that's where I want to start talking about it, and that's where I have my first anecdote. When you look at the dominant picture on the front cover of the book, and there are three shots. There's some shots of some waterfowl up in the top part, and then you wander over to the left, and there's a model from Iceland, actually, where I captured that shot. But the dominant shot is a shot of the Sentinel building in San Francisco with the Transamerica building in the background, and they're set so that there's a juxtaposition there. And you know how much I love juxtapositions. I'm always looking for them. Now, a lot of people call that the front building, the Sentinel building, they call it the Zoetrope building now, because actually Francis Ford Coppola is the one who occupies it now, and he runs Zoetrope Studios, or it's part of Zoetrope Studios there. I think they have some administrative stuff and so forth. And it's really a cool building. It's been around for quite some time. And I actually took this photo in December of 2002. a while back, and I took it with a compact camera, one of the early Canon G series cameras, the G1 and G2. And I think it's very interesting because it's on the cover. It's a cover shot. And one of the things that I thought was fascinating as I was going through this whole process with people is that, you know, my theory, and we talk about this a lot on The Digital Story, is that always have a camera with you. And it isn't always possible to have a big, luggy DSLR with you. And so if you're bound and determined to only shoot pictures with a digital SLR, and, you know, Lord knows I love digital SLRs, but if you're bound and determined to only shoot with a digital SLR, you're going to miss a lot of shots. And this cover shot is one of those examples where I was out bopping around on the streets of San Francisco. It was a late in the afternoon on a December day, very clear. The air was very clear. It was just one of those, what I love about winter sometimes out here. And the light was very nice. The light was hanging low in the sky, and it was hitting the Zoetrope building and the Transamerica building very, very sweetly, as I would say. And I pulled out my Canon G camera that I had with me, you know, because I was just bopping around, and I recorded a series of shots. And I shot it the way that I talk a lot about, which is, you know, I started shooting back, and so where I could get the whole scene and everything. And those shots are actually helpful for reference shots for later on, because they, even when you, a lot of times I'll use the tight shot, as I did in this case, but it's good to have those broader reference shots so I can look at it and go, oh, that's where the light cut off and that was going on. And, you know, you can see more of the frame. And then I continued to zoom in closer and closer and work the angle until I got the shot that ultimately ended up on the cover of this book. And I didn't choose it. Now, this is something that I think a lot of people don't realize, that when you sign on with a publisher and you do books, you don't have complete control, or most of us don't have complete control. So I have a certain amount of sign off, and, you know, but a lot of times when it comes to cover shots and so forth, now on the inside, I get to control all the shots, but we're talking about cover and marketing language and so forth. A lot of times, you know, I'm lucky enough where I get to sign off on stuff, but I'm not the one that actually gets to say, this is the shot that's going to be on the cover with this shot and this shot. There's a whole process for making covers, and the photographer submits, you know, a whole bunch of shots, and then things are selected. So anyway, I didn't pick this shot, and you know, one of the key people in the process, actually one of the publisher, said that, you know, he felt that he could tell the difference between a digital SLR shots and shots taken with compact cameras, with a definite leaning toward shots taken with DSLRs. There was a certain DSLR look, and, okay, very interesting. Well, they didn't have the metadata for all the shots I submitted. I didn't give them the metadata. The metadata is all published in the book. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But at the time, you know, I just basically gave them a web gallery. So, you know, this shot was picked because it had that right look, you know, and I think almost everyone would have sworn that it was shot with a digital SLR, and it wasn't. It was shot with a compact camera. And I love that because from the very get-go on this book, the very first statement that I make with it is that, you know, the best camera in the world is the one that you have with you. And do not be shy about taking an important shot with a compact camera, especially if that is the only camera you have with you. And this case in point, and believe me, I did not pick this shot. Someone else picked the shot. This is a case in point of where if I had not been carrying a compact, I probably would have had a different cover, and it may have looked good and so forth, but this one turned out great. And it drives home the point without me having to be the one that actually makes it. So anyway, so that's a fun shot on the cover. Now, I mentioned metadata just a few minutes ago. One of the additions to this book is that this was really kind of a brainstorm that happened late in the game. I had already written most of the book. And I thought, you know, I worked really hard on all these shots, and one of the things I worked on is to make sure that a sample shot, any shot that's illustrating a technique, was first a good shot unto itself. And, I had actually fallen into this trap on earlier books where I would go for something that showed the technique, and I was more concerned about illustrating the technique than I was actually always presenting the best photograph possible. And as I looked back at some of those earlier books, those shots irritated me, and then as time goes on, they irritated me more. So one of the things that I said I was going to do this time was that I was going to create a pool of shots, a pool of photographs that I liked just as photographs, not thinking about them, illustrating any technique or anything like that. They had to be just good shots, and actually they had to be like, 4-star shots in my library, my photo management library. Then after I created that pool, when I needed something to illustrate a point in the book, then I could only pick from that pool. And if there's something that I really needed that wasn't in the pool, then I'd have to go out and shoot it. But I was not allowed to go outside of that pool unless I actually went out and shot the shot. And I loved this process. First of all, it felt very disciplined because it made me stay within my best shots. But then ultimately, I think the real thing is that I ended up with good shots all throughout the book, and I never caved in and just put a shot in because it was a good explanation of the technique. But maybe that shot that everyone's tempted to do where, it's your son or daughter playing on the floor and it's a good example of red eye, but it's really just like, ooh, it's a shot that anyone could take, right? And, part of what we're trying to do with the book is aspiration, too, is try to, inspire people, inspiration, trying to inspire people beyond just the everyday snapshot. So this is really fun. So then but back to the point about the metadata, then I'm going, okay, all right, so I have these shots, and I think they're good examples, and I think they're good shots. But still, it seems like there's something missing. And what was missing is the thing that we get in digital photography, which is the XF data and some of the IPTC data about the photograph itself. So I had to go and ask, could I have some more pages, please? Please, sir, more pages, because I got this really good idea, and I know I'm already running a little bit long, but I really want to do this, to create this table, this metadata table in the back. And, this book is full of tables. There's a whole list of them. But I wanted to add one more, and this one's going to run multiple pages, where I'd have a thumbnail of every shot that ran in the book, including the front and back covers, then with all the good information about it, such as, the camera model, the ISO, the focal length, the exposure information, who took it, and where it was taken. Because I thought by including that with every shot, then that really rounded out, the learning experience. And I didn't want to put all that information in the caption of every shot, because I think that sort of slows things down. When you're reading the book and you're working with something in it, you really want to be, whatever, you want to be in the flow at the moment. But then there are other times when you really want to think about, some of these other details. And I wanted to kind of have them hooked together, but not where you had to, absorb everything at once. So most of us learn best in layers, and I thought this would be a good example of that. So I got the metadata table. They let me have it, and I run it. So then, and this will go back now to an earlier part, everything's sort of hooked together here. So then after I create this thing, and I'm looking at the metadata table, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I cannot believe how many photographs that are in this book that, images that were already rated highly in my collection were taken with either a compact camera or an entry-level DSLR. These entry-level, the real light DSLR, such as the Rebel, are easy to carry in a backpack when you're schlepping a bunch of other stuff. And you're not really out on a shoot. You're out just, living life, going to meetings and stuff. But you want to have a camera with you. And I could not believe how many shots were taken with these cameras. And of course, there are a lot of shots taken with the Canon 5D, too, in a professional lens. But believe me, at least half of them were taken with these other cameras. And that really made me feel like, this is the thing here. What we're trying to do in this book you know, this book is for basically anyone who's an enthusiast about photography and wants to take better shots, wants to take shots that distinguish their work from other people's at any level. So if you're just a casual snap shooter, my feeling is that you still want your photographs, your casual snapshots, to look like you took them and to, you know, and to have sort of your trademark on them. And the way that you can do that is by, you know, learning how to work your camera, learning all the controls and capabilities that it has, and then learning some basic technique and then putting those together. And the metaphor that I use is like driving a car. When I first drove a car with a clutch, back when I was a teenager, I was so concerned about, you know, pushing my foot in on the clutch pedal and moving the gear shift and hitting the gas and steering the wheel and everything that I really had no idea where I was going. And, you know, and hopefully I wasn't running into a tree or something as I tried to work all these different things. So, I mean, and I wasn't comfortable with driving the car, and so therefore I wasn't really having that great of a car experience. And I certainly wasn't getting the most out of it that I could. And I think a lot of people, a lot of times with their camera, they sort of stay stuck at that stage where they're never really totally comfortable with all the controls and everything. And they spend so much time either fiddling with it or just getting frustrated and say, I'm not going to fiddle with them at all. Right? Because it's just a frustrating experience. And so then they're never able to go into that other part of their brain where the creativity and the vision live. So my thinking is, and especially with Companion here, is that if you master all those things, then it's like you've been driving a car for 20 years, right? You're shifting gears, you're braking, you're accelerating, and you're looking around and you're aware of all the other cars around you and you're enjoying the scenery and it, you know, you got the radio on and you're having a great time. And that I want people to have that same great time with their camera. And I think the upshot is then your vision will come out. It will surface. And then suddenly you start taking shots that not only represent you, but then also look better than other people that are taking shots around you. So the thing that I want with Companion and the digital story in general is that if you're at a wedding reception with and 15 people are taking pictures, we're not talking about the pro shooter right now, we're just talking about everyone else. 15 people are taking pictures, I want your shots to be the ones that people look at and go, those are really nice. And I think, you know, I think we can do that. I think we can do this with a digital story, and I think we can do this with Photography Companion. And so, you know, no matter what level of enthusiast that you're at, I think there's a lot of stuff in this book that will help you move from wherever you are now to the next spot and be the dude that takes the great shots at any gathering. Now, another interesting thing about this book is it's what I call its interface. And that's not a term you hear a lot of times with books, right? Interface. It's very technology sounding. Well, that's because it is. And I was heavily influenced by the look of a lot of the photo management software that we see these days. I was influenced by Adobe Lightroom, Adobe Bridge, Apple's Aperture, and Apple's iPhoto. In particular, those four applications had a lot of influence over the look of this book. And so what I wanted was, and I would talk this over with the editor of the book, Colleen Wheeler, so we talk about this and I say, you know, I want this book to feel familiar to you so that as you work with this book and then as you work with the software that you have, that it all feels kind of connected and hooked together and like it's part of one thing. And of course, part of this was that I added two chapters onto the book that were absolutely brand new, written from total scratch. And one is Printing Made Easy, and the other one is called, you know, I've Taken Great Pictures, Now What? And both of these have to do with, you know, working on the computer side of the equation. The first three chapters are mostly about capture, how to shoot like a pro, how to master the controls, all that kind of stuff. But then the second two chapters, chapters 4 and 5, are really more on the computer side, the software side of things. And so, you know, I wanted the whole book to feel like, you know, that same kind of cool interface that we see these days, you know, those charcoal colors, you know, that make our photographs look really good, the typography, you know, the overall design. So I was telling this and discussing it with Colleen Wheeler, the book editor, and she actually, she's very handy in things like InDesign and Pages and so forth. So she actually, in Apple's Pages program, designed what, you know, a template, a beginning look, and so that we could actually look at something and talk about it. And we went back and forth on this, and that, and what she did, the work that she did, is actually what was submitted to the designer on the project. And his name was David Futado, and he's a very good designer. I think he's in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And he took it and ran with it. So it resonated with him, and he was able to go forward. And I just think this whole process is very cool, because it sort of evolved out of, you know, what we're seeing in photography today. And then the editor is the one that actually, you know, put, you know, brought life to it, and then submit it to the designer, who then, you know, took it to the next level. And that taking it to the next level is actually a theme throughout this book. You know, no one person does a book all by themselves, or it's rare that they do. There's usually help along the way. And so the thing that we wanted was that every person who touched this book made it better and raised it up a notch. And that happened with Colleen, and that happened with David. And so I'll be very curious to see what you think about this. You know, when you look at the tables and the overall layout and the way the photos are presented and so forth, and hopefully it will feel like, you know, like the way photography feels today, digital photography feels today, between the camera menus and our software applications. And so there's a little insight as to, you know, how that all came about. A question I've been getting a lot, especially lately, as a digital photography companion has come onto people's radar, is, well, you know, I already own Digital Photography Pocket Guide 3rd Edition, which is the last book in this genre that I did. And almost everyone that tells me this really likes 3rd Edition. So why would I need Companion if I already have, you know, the Pocket Guide 3rd Edition? And I think it's a good question, but I also have a good answer for it. And there's a few reasons. First of all, Digital Photography Pocket Guide was published in May of 2005. That was its last, you know, when it went to press. And so that means that I was really working on it in, you know, late 2004, all the way up to it went off to the printer, probably about April of 2005. Well, in the world of digital photography, that's a while ago. And it's held up well, but a lot of that information in there is just plain outdated. Things have changed. Camera specs have changed. Memory cards have changed. Functionality has changed. You know, the world, definitely on the software side, the world has just changed a lot since then. And so, you know, my original thinking was to do a 4th edition of that book that was mainly updated. But then something else happened, and output and photo management and printing, all this stuff suddenly got better just in, you know, just recently. And with the, you know, advent of Aperture and Lightroom, and suddenly, you know, ICC profiles for printing were everywhere, and the printers are better and the software is better. And I decided that I could really talk about that part of the equation without it being a bunch of, you know, mumble jumble voodoo kind of stuff. So I wanted to add a couple more chapters, and those are the two chapters that I added. You know, taking great pictures now what, and printing made easy. Those chapters are not in Pocket Guide, and I think they're an important part of the photography equation today. And then another thing that's different is, I think the pictures are better in this book, in Companion. As I mentioned earlier, I fell a little bit into the trap in Pocket Guide of saying, you know, this is a good example of whatever I'm talking about, best example that I have, not necessarily the best picture I have in this genre. And I changed that around this time, and it really had to be one of the best pictures I had, or it didn't go in there. And I think it elevated the whole look of the book. So I think that part's better. And then another part is I had a better team this time. I mean, that I had a great team. I had a fantastic editor in Colleen Wheeler. I had a good designer in David Fittato. I had a production manager, a production editor overseeing this project, Dennis Fitzgerald, who was just fabulous. And especially, you know, the thing that just drives you crazy when you're going down the home stretch is all sorts of little details. And it seems like that any one of these details is like photography in a way. It's like a metaphor for photography. You know, you can do 99 things right when you're setting up a shot. And if you do the 100th thing wrong, a lot of times it sinks the whole shot. And books can be like that too, where, you know, you can do so many things right, and then you just do one or two little things wrong, and then the whole thing just kind of goes up in smoke. And Dennis was great about not letting those one or two things go wrong. He was dogged about seeing it through, making sure the details were done, making sure that the printer did the right job with it and all that sort of stuff. So I have a better team this time, and that better team, I think, is really reflected in this book. So there's all sorts of reasons why I think that, you know, for if you're in the U.S., you know, you can get this book for, like, right now less than $17, that it's worth the upgrade from Pocket Guide. Hang on to Pocket Guide. It's a great book, and a lot of the standard things about exposure compensation and so forth haven't really changed. But if you really want to be current, and if you really want to take your shooting to the next level, I think, you know, Companion is the book to help you do that. So I just want to mention a couple more things, and then I'll take care of some digital story business. But one of them is that this is the Digital Photography Companion is the official book for the digital story. It's the first time I've been able to do something like this. We have, you know, a page on the digital story, an area actually dedicated to it. And I mentioned this in my author's release notes that I just put on the site on Sunday, and that the proceeds from this book is actually what funds the digital story. And so to me, it's very important, you know, part of they're all hooked together here. Now, the digital story itself will always be free. I will never charge for it. I'm never going to charge for the podcast. None of that stuff. It will always remain free, and it will always remain open to any photographer that wants to participate. And that's just the way it has to be. But I will tell you that this book is one of the things that helps me fund that, because, you know, running something, this virtual camera club, you know, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to know that, you know, it takes time and it takes money to do it. There are actually people I have to pay. I have ISP, you know, I have my time, you know, all those things. You know, you don't care about that. But, you know, it's just all sort of part. There is an overhead with this. And the money I get from this book helps me pay for that. You know, those royalties go right into the same account that I write the checks for Digital Story. So, you know, I will just be totally upfront and say, you know, if you're a Digital Story member, you know, buy this book, please. Buy this book, because by doing so, you're gonna help keep the whole thing going. And in the bargain, trust me on this, you're going to get a good book. You'll get a book that you like. And if for some weird reason it doesn't resonate with you, and that's possible, give it to somebody and help them with their photography. And by the same token, if you are the guru, which chances are, you know, most of the listeners to the show are, the gurus in their world, this is a great book to recommend. And I feel totally confident saying that. And believe me, I wouldn't say that to you guys, because, you know, I have a reputation and a trust factor here to maintain. But I wouldn't say that if I absolutely didn't believe it. So I hope you support the book the way that you've supported this show. And you can get it for a good price on Amazon right now. Of course, there's links everywhere on the digital store. You can just go over to the Companion page, use the Order Now link on it, and you'll be in great business. It's shipped. It's going now to the warehouses everywhere. So Amazon should, it lists it now, but it should list it as in stock here within the next couple of weeks. But if you order it now, you'll get it the minute that it comes in, and they're really good about turning it around. Okay, I want to hit on just a couple Virtual Camera Club goodies. First of all, our photo assignment for this month is paper, and This is a great assignment in terms of what I'm already seeing coming in. And so, and I think one of the things I like about it is a lot of people are having to shoot this one from scratch. So even better. And so those are due by the end of the month, paper for this month's photo assignment. The how I did it's are starting to roll in, and I'm getting some really cool stuff. And this is a feature that I feel very strongly about. It's going to show up on the companion page, on the digital photography companion page. So, and I'm going to be running these, I'm going to try to run them once a week. And then, of course, I'm still doing grab shots, and those are coming in, too, nicely. I mean, we've got a nice little thing going right now where a lot of participation by everyone, either between the photo assignments or the grab shots or how I did it, or just hanging out and commenting every now and then on, you know, something that we publish on the site. And then I got a whole other bunch of the Camera Club members hanging out over on the Flickr public group. And they're commenting and contributing, and there's lots of great shots on the Flickr public group, The Digital Story. So we have a lot of stuff going on right now. So whether you just like to hang out and look at what other people are doing, or if you're ready to participate, we've got a lot of avenues for you, and I hope you jump in and send us something. And I want to thank sponsors. They also help keep this show going. LowPro and Photomagico. And ExpoDisc, all three of them, they stand behind the show in you know, any way that they can. And they all have tiles on most of the pages. And take a look at their stuff if you haven't already. So that's going to do it for this week. I tell you, really happy to have this book show up on my in my mail and be able to go through it and breathe that sigh of relief. I'm looking forward to hearing from you about it. I'm going to run some specials and some goodies, you know, and if I'm going to try to find a way for members to have a signed author's plate, and I have another goodie too that I'm working on right now. So chipping away at all this stuff. I hope you support it, and you know, thanks for supporting the show too. And don't forget to go out and take pictures, and make sure you have a camera with you at all times. And I'll see you next week. Bye bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.